This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. We continue بإذن الله تعالى the 40 أحاديث of Imam النووي رحمه الله. We move on now بإذن الله تعالى to حديث number 15. Your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project with you every Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah, hadith number 15. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal. Upon the authority of Abu Hurairah, he narrates that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah and the final day, falyaqul khayran, then let him say good, أو ليصمت, or be silent. ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. And whoever believes in Allah and the final day, let him be good, let him be generous, let him honor his neighbor. ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. And whoever believes in Allah and the final day, let him be generous, courteous, let him honor his guest. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Number one, بإذن الله تعالى, the تخريج of this hadith, as we learnt, reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. We also find numerous others of the Sahaba, besides Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, also narrating this hadith. We find Abu Suraj, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and many others. The narrator and his background biography, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, and we discussed his biography previously, walhamdulillah. We move on to number three, inshallah, and that is the explanation of this hadith. Brothers and sisters, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah, if one wants and one wishes to be a true believer, then one must behave in accordance to this hadith. This hadith shows us the how with regards to being a true believer. You want to be that true believer, you want to have that complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, where are you with regards to these three qualities? Where are you with regards to speaking good or being silent? Where are you with regards to your neighbor? Where are you with regards to your guests? Imam Haytami rahimahullah, he said that this hadith deserves to be called one third of al-Islam. Why? Because it covers the rulings related to the tongue. And generally our actions are what? Our actions are of the tongue, or of the heart, or of the limbs. One of the three. And this hadith here touches upon the matter of the tongue, and thus it is one third, as Imam Haytami states, one third of Islam. And we find that if this hadith was truly implemented, I mean, no doubt, talk is extremely cheap. If this hadith truly was implemented, then what would we find? We would find society filled with love and closeness towards one another. We would find that ukhuwa between one another. We find our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir." Whoever believes in Allah and the final day. These three characteristics mentioned in this hadith, they are the qualities of those who truly believe in Allah and the final day. These three qualities, important, these three qualities are the fruits of that belief. They believe in Allah and the final day, and thus they speak good or they are silent. Thus they honor their neighbors. Thus they honor their guests. Subhanallah. And thus the complete believer the believer with complete iman, he must have these three qualities. If you don't possess them, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, then no doubt there is room for improvement. There's a lot of room for improvement. Why did the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention whoever believes in Allah and the final day? Why not mention whoever believes in Allah and the messengers? Whoever believes in Allah and the malaika? Why specifically whoever believes in Allah and the final day? Because that's the day that one would get jaza. That's the day that you will get your recompense. You will get your reward, etc. for your a'mal. And so act for that day. This is encouragement on the day that you will receive your rewards for your actions. Well, even the act of goodness towards your neighbor, even the act of being silent when you have nothing good to say, even the act of honoring your guest, which is a natural matter, even those acts, you will be rewarded for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You will be rewarded for them on the final day. Brothers and sisters, every single act, one will either be rewarded or one would be held accountable with regards to it. One would be held accountable, subhanallah. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Let him say good or be silent. This tongue, brothers and sisters, and we've already mentioned many a times the importance with regards to restraining the tongue. This tongue, be very, very careful with regards to this tongue. If you believe in Allah and the final day, say good. Say good, ya akhil kareem. Oh sister, say something of goodness. Or be quiet. Do not indulge in evil. Allah states in the noble Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Surah Qaf, verse number 16 to verse number 18, that nothing they say except that there is the one who will record it, the one angel on your right and the angel on your left. رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. They are ready and they are waiting to record whatever we say, subhanallah. Our Rasul, our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he states, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمْ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبَعَدْ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. رواه البخاري. That verily a servant, a slave, he speaks a word, he doesn't ponder over it, he doesn't give it due thoughts. يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي النَّارِ, and he slips with that word into the fire. أَبَعَدْ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, a distance further than the east and the west, subhanallah. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari. Brothers and sisters, how many times we say a word, how many times we mock somebody, how many times we describe somebody in a rather distasteful manner. We say these words without pondering, without thinking. We might slip with that word in the hellfire a distance further than the east and the west. Ya Mu'adh, wa hal yakubbu an-nas fi nari ala wujuhihim aw ala manakhirihim illa hasa'id al-sinatihim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Mu'adh, and will not people be flung head first into the hellfire except due to what they earned with their tongues? Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, if we only but stuck to min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves off those matters which do not concern him. If we abided by that hadith, then in reality we would only say good or we would be silent. We would not need this hadith. If we applied that previous hadith, then we would only say good or we would be silent. Allahu musta'an. Brothers and sisters, saying good. Say something of goodness, ya akhi al-kareem or ukhti al-kareema. Some good speech. Subhanallah, what's the reward of good speech? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمْ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. Verily a servant, a slave, he speaks a word from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says something which is pleasing to Allah. لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. He doesn't really ponder over it too much, but he said a word of goodness. يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rises him in darajat. يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him in darajat. Wa inna al-'abda, the opposite, wa inna al-'abda la yatakallam min sakhatillah, and verily a servant, he speaks a word which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yulqi biha balan. He doesn't really ponder over it, give it much thought. Yahwi biha fi jahannam. And then he will go with it into the hellfire. Allahu musta'an. So both ways, it works both ways. You say something of good, you earn high darajat. You say something of evil, you fall into darakat. You fall into the pits of the hellfire. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, brothers and sisters, he said that the one who speaks a lot makes a lot of mistakes. The one who speaks a lot makes a lot of mistakes. And the one who makes a lot of mistakes will commit a lot of sin. And then he goes on, and the one who sins a lot, he will be, the hellfire will be the first place for him. The one who speaks a lot makes a lot of mistakes. The one who makes a lot of mistakes will earn a lot of sin. And the one who sins a lot, then the hellfire is the first place for him. We find many, many narrations with regards to avoiding excess speech. Even if, for example, it's not good speech or it's not evil speech, but it's just ordinary speech. So there's no sin in the speech. It's not the fancy good, nor is it evil speech. It's just ordinary speech, but he's talking a lot. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just ordinary speech, but it's a lot. Numerous narrations that we should even avoid that, subhanAllah. We should avoid that. We find that many of the pious predecessors, they said that an individual, Yawm al-Qiyamah, when all of his records are put forth before him, he spoke this and he spoke that and he spoke about a car and he spoke about the water and he spoke about the computer. A lot of speech, not necessarily good, not necessarily bad, but just speech and speech and speech. Then he would regret on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Why? Regret because if only he spent that time in some sort of good, at least it would benefit him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Remember, nafsi, Yawm al-Qiyamah, everybody's running around, give me something, give me some reward, I need something. We're looking, we're running away from our fathers, mothers, grandfathers, brothers, sisters, etc. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, having said that, that good speech, masha'Allah, earns you high darajat, but sometimes, you know, it would also be wrong for a person to be silent. One of the scholars of the past, he said that whoever is silent concerning the truth is a mute shaitan. You know, you could open up your mouth, you could say something, you could defend the honor of somebody, you could say that which was haq, you could say that which was the truth, but you kept silent. You were afraid, you were shy, whatever it might be. You were silent. It says that you are like the mute Satan. You are like the dumb shaitan, subhanAllah. Jayid. So rather, we should not be the speaking devil, nor the mute devil. I should not be the speaking devil, nor should I be the dumb devil. Rather, we should be saying words of goodness, subhanAllah. Imam al-Nakha'i, he said that, two matters destroy people. Fudul al-mal wa fudul al-kalam. Excess wealth destroys people, and excess speech also destroys people, subhanAllah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, nothing on earth deserves a long prison sentence except the tongue. SubhanAllah, you had one scholar, maybe he took it to another level, maybe at extreme. He's walking with his student and the student says, you know, oh, SubhanAllah, very, very hot today. Ya Ustad. The Ustad, who was a man of very little speech, said to him, you're saying that it is very hot today did not make it any cooler, nor did it, you know, help in any way whatsoever. You're saying that did not inform me. I already knew that it was very, very hot. And your speech did not make it any cooler. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, say good or be silent. Saying good. Some examples of good speech. Islah between people. making, you know, making peace between people, making islah between people. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلْ مِنْ دَرَجَاتِ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ. Should I not inform you people of something which is better than fasting and salah and sadaqah? قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They said, yes, ya Rasulullah. قَالَ إِصْلَاح ذَاتْ الْبَيْنِ. Making peace between people, making peace between those who have issues between them. And then he said, وَفَسَادْ ذَاتْ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَةِ. And issues and problems and dissent between people, it is a destroyer. It is a cutter that destroys. Allahu musta'an. Hadith reported by Imam Ahmed and in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. So you come along and you try to join between these people. You make islah between these two groups of people, between the husband and the wife, between these two brothers. Even if you have to lie, subhanallah, lying to join between two parties, to join between these individuals, would be permissible because of the great benefit and the khair that comes out of joining between them. Number two, ordering good and preventing evil. We find, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, وَرَجُلٌ قَامَ إِلَىٰ إِمَامٍ جَائِرٍ فَأَمَرَهُ وَنَهَاهُ فَقَتَلَهُ. That an individual who stood before the imam, and this imam was an unjust, zalim ruler. Zalim, subhanallah. And this individual stood up to him and ordered him to do good and tried to prevent him from evil. And then he was killed. He was killed, subhanallah. And this hadith reported in the Mustadrak of Imam Al-Hakim. Point is that this man stood up, Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, ordering the good and preventing the evil. We also find speech where you guide others to good. مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرُ فَاعِلِ. That whoever guides others to good, he will get the reward of the one who did the action. You told somebody, you encouraged somebody to give sadaqah, they gave sadaqah, you will get the reward. Your speech in guiding them towards that sadaqah, this is good speech, fantastic speech, mashaAllah. Also, there's the jihad of the tongue. جاهدوا المشركين بأموالكم وأيديكم وألسنتكم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood, that wage jihad against the mushrikeen with your wealth, with your hands, and with your tongues, your speech, subhanallah. Defending the truth, defending the honor, defending al-Islam. Good speech, fantastic speech. Also, recitation of the noble Quran, your making of your dhikr, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, these are but only a few examples of good speech. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, say good or be silent. So what's better? Being silent better or saying good? No doubt saying good is better than silence. But silence is better than evil speech, no doubt about that. Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said that there's no hajj, there's no guarding the enemy lines, you know, where the Muslims on the front line, you are in Ribat. He says, there's no jihad more difficult than restraining the tongue. Very, very difficult, subhanallah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you guarantee me that which is between your lips and that which is between your thighs, I guarantee for you paradise. Paradise is not cheap. Sila'atullahi ghaliya. That the treasures of Allah are expensive. Very expensive, subhanallah. And thus, avoiding and protecting and staying away from evil speech and lewd speech, and protecting that which is between the tongue and between the legs, that's a major jihad, subhanallah. And thus your reward will be Jannah. As for evil speech, Allah musta'an, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, insha'Allah. When we return, we go through some of the examples of evil speech, insha'Allah. Hayyakumullah. We move on to some examples of evil speech. Evil speech, number one, your backbiting, your ghibah. What is ghibah? To say something true about another that they wouldn't like. It is true. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, but what if what I'm saying about him, it is there, it is within him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, if it's true, then it is ghibah. And if it is false, then it is then it is slander. Allah musta'an. Allah states in the noble Quran, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surah Hujurat, verse number 12. Do you like to eat the flesh of your brother? No, you wouldn't like to do so. You would not like to eat the flesh of your brother. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. That's the matter of backbiting. Then there's the matter of namima, spreading information about others with the intent of causing dissent. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes by the graves of two individuals. And then he said that these two are not being punished for something major in the eyes of people. But with Allah, it is major. That one of them would carry tales from person to person. Ahmed said this about you. Ilyas said that about you. Fatima was talking about you and she said this, etc., etc. And don't tell them that I said such and such. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And the second individual would not take care with regards to the drops of urine. Thus they were being punished in the grave. The third example of evil speech, lying. A person lies and continues to lie until with Allah, this person is regarded as a liar. We find with regards to that ghibah that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two females. He was asked about them. One of them, she prays a lot of nafil and gives sadaqah, etc., etc., does all of this good, but her neighbors are not free from her evil speech. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said she's in the fire. And the second one, they said that she only does her fara'id, but her neighbors are free from her evil speech. There's no evil speech that she talks about them, etc., etc. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised her. Number four, evil speech, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the deen of Allah without knowledge. Brothers and sisters, mashallah, we know about ghiba, and we hope that we avoid it. We know about namima, speaking and causing dissent between people. We know about it, mashallah. And we hope that we avoid it. Lying, we avoid it bi-iznillahi ta'ala. But this matter of speaking about Allah or the deen of Allah without knowledge, this is from amongst the super, super major sins. And unfortunately, many of us dabble in it. Many of us slip into it. Many of us speak about the religion of Allah without any basis whatsoever. Somebody, subhanAllah, talking about nuclear physics, and he has absolutely no idea about anything. He knows, as he said, he knows jack about it, subhanAllah. Besides the fact that his opinion carries no weight whatsoever, he's talking from his from thin air. What about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah states, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited fawahish, whatever is apparent and hidden, وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And that you make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which you have absolutely no proof. وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And for you to say about Allah that which you do not know, that which you have no knowledge about. Surah A'raf, look it up, verse number 33. Surah A'raf, verse 33. Mentioning the matters of fawahish and shirk and all of that. And from amongst the major sins is that you speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the deen of Allah without knowledge. Allah also states that shaitan orders you to do the following. What does shaitan order you to do? إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَى. He orders you with evil and lewdness. وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And shaitan orders you to talk about Allah that which you have no knowledge about. Surah Baqarah, verse number 169. So subhanAllah, somebody is talking about, for example, that the imam in salah, you know, the first rak'ah, second rak'ah, four rak'ahs for salatul isha. Somebody comes along and he says, no, you know what, I read about a certain matter that you can go before the imam. If the imam is taking long, you can go before the imam. If, for example, you are tired, then after the second rak'ah, you can make your own salam, etc. Somebody is talking about the hijab of the female. Somebody is talking about the lihya, the beard of the male. Somebody is talking about this zakah, 2.5% every single year that one has to pay. This is tough. This is like a burden. This is like a tax. Allah mentions 8 categories of zakah recipients in the Noble Quran. Guy says, no, that was for the old days. Today we need to change it around. Today we need to open up the categories to certain other individuals. Allahumusta'an. Who are you, Ya Akhi al-Kareem? Who are you, Ya Ukhti al-Kareema? Allahumusta'an. Just this week, reading an article, somebody states that, in the old days, it made sense that a Muslim man, he was able to marry a Christian or a Jewish female. But today, life has changed and everything's changed. And today, in fact, changed so much that today we should also allow for a Muslim female to get married to a Christian or a Jewish man, and there should not be any problem. And the person goes along and says, well, according to what I've come across in the Quran and in the Sunnah, that this here is fine and there's no problem with this. Well, alhamdulillah. In the old days, you know, it was like, she might turn to his deen. Whereas today, you have laws which protect the female and her religion. And so if she marries a Christian man or she marries a Jewish man, there wouldn't be any issue whatsoever. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is exactly what Allah states in the Noble Quran, Surah Baqarah 169. إنما يأمركم بالسوء والفحشاء شيطان orders you with evil and lewdness وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون and for you to say about Allah that which you have absolutely no knowledge. Take note, brothers and sisters, this does not mean this is an excuse to institutionalize the clergy, etc., that this is the domain of the clergy, the ulama, that we don't have a say in anything whatsoever. Not at all, Ya Akhil Kareem. We do not have any special clergy or anything like that. There's a difference between this ilm being open, and it is open to everybody. It is open. All you need to do is get with the program. All you need to do is take the course. All you need to do is take the path and study. But yes, it is not open to every Tom, Dick and Harry, Jahil, Ahmed and Ilyas for them to come along. And I say it's like this, and I say it should be like that, and I think it should be like this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. No, Akhil Kareem. The deen of Allah is worth more than that. Make your own car, make your own cell phone, make your own garden, do as you wish. But the deen of Allah, don't play around with it like a soccer ball. Allahumma sta'an. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after stating, say good or be silent, we touched upon examples of good speech, we touched upon examples of evil speech. Then he moves on. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارًا Then whoever believes in Allah and the final day, let him honor, let him be courteous to his neighbor. That one should check on the welfare of the neighbor, one should greet, assist, one should be considerate, one should not be noisy and disturb the neighbors. You are doing renovations in your home, etc. Be careful with regards to the time, especially if you are living in an apartment building. Be careful, be wary with regards to the times and the amount of noise you make in the apartment building. Beware and be careful with regards to the pathways of people. Where do you park? You block the park and you block the driveway of the neighbor. Allahumma musta'an. A good question. You know, the fuqaha have discussed, who is the neighbor? You know, what defines your neighbor? Some of them said that 40 houses in each direction. This was the opinion of Hassan al-Basri, opinion of Imam al-Zuhri, Imam Awza'i, many of the Shafi'is and most of the Hanbalis. That 40 houses in each direction. Subhanallah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Other ulama, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Zufar, his student, the Maliki scholars, they said that the houses which are adjacent to you from all directions. So those houses which are directly adjacent to you. Some ulama said the people of your local masjid. Nonetheless, point is, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the matter of the neighbor. ما زال جبريل يوصني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Jibreel, imagine the archangel Jibreel coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, he brings the Quran and he's also bringing this matter. What matter? He continues to advise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the neighbor until the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that maybe when I pass away, maybe when people die, the neighbor will also inherit. Because Jibreel so many times emphasizes the role and the importance of the neighbor. Subhanallah, and many of us do not even know the name of the neighbor, do not even know anything about the neighbor. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Numerous ahadith about the neighbor. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yu'dhi jara. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day, let him not harm his neighbor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, he is not a believer. Imagine, he's swearing, he's taking a qasam. Second time he said, by Allah, he is not a neighbor. Third time, by Allah, he is not a believer once. By Allah, he is not a believer twice. By Allah, he is not a believer three times. Then he was said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, who is this? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one from whose affairs his neighbor is not safe. مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنْ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. The one who his neighbor is not safe from his harms. This person, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying what? He's saying, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ. This person does not believe. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, وَاللَّهِ this person does not believe. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when that individual complained, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor's harming me and doing this and doing that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, take all of your belongings, put them out on the street. Put them out where? On the street. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. And when people started to walk by and ask him, what's wrong? Why all your bed and everything's on the street? He says, because my neighbor always harms me, and that's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to put my stuff on the street. People began to curse that neighbor. Oh, whoa, what a wretched neighbor. What a bad guy. Until he eventually felt, you know, people are cursing me. He came out and he told this neighbor, you know what, go back to your house, take all your stuff back. I will not harm you from today. Subhanallah. And so from one angle, we have our duty not to harm and not to irritate and not to be inconsiderate towards our neighbors. And from the other side, the one who is harmed, then one should bear this matter with great patience, and great reward would be awaiting them, insha'Allah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, brothers and sisters, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفة. Then he should honor his guest. Be courteous to the guest. Ikram is more than it'am. Ikram, to honor the guest, is more than mere feeding the individual. Feeding is counted, no doubt, but ikram is on a higher level. What would ikram include? It would include feeding the individual, taking care of the individual's needs, ensuring that they are comfortable. This hadith shows us that wherever the Muslim travels, he will feel at home, or he is supposed to feel at home. And thus, this would increase the feeling of brotherhood and ummahness between the Muslims. We find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ جَائِزَتُهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ. That his jaiza, his like special privilege, is for a day and a night. وَالضِّيَافَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ. And hosting him is for 3 days. فَمَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَةً. And anything above 3 days, this is sadaqa from the side of the host. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يَسْوِيَ عِنْدَهُ حَتَّى يُحْرِجَهُ. And the individual should not remain at the home of the host after that time, you know, if he's becoming a burden. SubhanAllah. This hadith, brothers and sisters, states that the guest is entitled to 1 day of special treatment. not the food that you usually eat, but rather, you know, you go overboard and you make something special, etc., for him for this first day. Then 2 days after this, he is entitled to that which you and your family eat. After 3 days, then, you know, you can tell him, Jazakallah khair, you know, you can leave now. He has gotten his haqq. His haqq was for 3 days. Is this an obligation or is this something which is recommended? We find that Layth and Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, they said that hosting this guest for 1 day with this ja'iza, with this extra fancy treatment, this is wajib. This is an obligation. What? An obligation upon you, subhanAllah. This was the opinion of Imam Ahmed and Imam Layth. We found that others said no. Majority of the ulama said no. Hosting him is recommended, but it's not wajib. Why? They said because the word ja'iza. And ja'iza indicates that this is something which is a recommendation and not an obligation. Whereas Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, in Nail al-Awtar, he defends the opinion that it is an obligation. Minority opinion. But he defends this opinion at length. And he says that the fact that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after 3 days, if you still host the guest, then it would be sadaqah. It shows that before 3 days, this was not sadaqah. Rather, this was an obligation. This was wajib. Imam al-Bukhari has the chapter heading, Bab sun'i ta'am wa takalluf lid-dayf, that preparing food for the guest and, you know, making takalluf, going overboard, you know, for the guest, subhanallah. In the Noble Quran, what do we find with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salam? فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. That when these angels came, they came in the form of men, and they came to give him the glad tidings that his wife would fall pregnant, and they were on their way to punish the people of Lut alayhi salam. And so when they stopped at Ibrahim alayhi salam's place, quickly he went and prepared something and he brought for them, and he said to them, you know, eat. The ulama deduce from this that the correct etiquette manner is to put the food forward in front of the guest, not to ask the guest before, you know, will you have some tea, will you have some water, do you want some juice, do you want something to eat? No, rather you bring it and you put it forward before them, like Ibrahim alayhi salam had done. You all know that many a times you went to a friend's house, you went to a neighbor's house, you went to a relative's house, you were hungry, you wanted to eat something. But, you know, when they asked you, you said, no, it's fine, don't worry, it's fine, I'm fine, it's all okay. But you really wanted, subhanAllah. And thus, the proper etiquette would be to bring it forward, put it in front of them. Then if they eat, alhamdulillah. If they don't eat, well, alhamdulillah, all is well. But you have done your duty. So in summary, with regards to this portion, whoever believes in Allah and the final day, let him honor his guest. Some ulama stated that, the first night, the first day for this guest, you are obliged to host him. Some said that you are obliged for 3 days, and others said this whole matter is a matter of recommendation and not an obligation. Some made a distinction between, the Bedouin and the resident, that in the town it's not an obligation, but rather on the outskirts of the city, etc., it would be an obligation to host the individual. Some ulama of the opinion that if you visited and you did not get your haqq, these people, instead of preparing 2 meals or 3 meals a day, only gave you 1 meal. And some of the ulama said that you could take from their wealth without their knowledge. You saw a wallet lying around, you could take some money from their wallet because it's your haqq. And because it was an obligation, according to this opinion of those scholars, then you are only taking back your haqq and nothing more than your haqq. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in summary, this hadith, we learn that we human beings are social creatures, and in mixing with others, we should remember this hadith. Use this hadith as a yardstick. That some said that la takallam bikalam, la tatakallam bikalam ta'tadhir minhu ghadan. Do not speak anything where you would have to apologize the following day. Subhanallah. Important, absolute silence is not an act of worship. Somebody does not talk at all. He says, no, I don't want to talk. This is like an act of worship. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions that this is something which is prohibited. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said to that female who said that I took a vow, I'm not going to talk. He said to her that this is from the acts of jahiliyyah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, complete silence and you're not talking. This is not good. This is prohibited. Rather use your tongue for good. We learnt in this hadith the importance of saying good or being silent, the importance of honoring the neighbor, importance of looking after the guest, and we should not be like people who feel that the guest is a pest. Allahu musta'an. When the guest comes, people complain, why did he not call, why did he not phone, why did he not send a message, how can they just pitch up here suddenly like this, what if we were not home, etc. Put off the lights. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Tell them we're not here. Brothers and sisters, the attitude of our grandparents, great grandparents, etc. was not like this. Maybe, for example, we live in palaces today. We have these fancy, super fancy homes. Thus, it's a burden upon us when people visit. This attitude completely incorrect. Yes, communication very easy today. People should inform. That's the etiquette. That's the best thing. But if they did not, they are still a guest and we should still honor them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought them to your door. And this hadith lastly proves that A'mal actions are also part and parcel of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice, not just learn the ilm, but also to make amal upon whatever we hear. The speaker, even before those being spoken to, هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.